This is the spirit of Christ, to empty ourselves completely. Paul speaks about one of his co-workers who had this spirit, who absorbed the spirit. I mean, Timothy saw it in Paul. Paul saw it in Christ and decided to follow that. And Timothy saw it in Paul and imbibed the same spirit. You read about that. It's further down in this chapter in Philippians 2:19. He says, I want to send Timothy to you shortly so that I may be encouraged when I learn of your condition, because I have nobody else of the same spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare, because everybody seeks after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. Do you know when he says all, he's not talking about all the unbelievers in the world, which is of course true. He's not even talking about all believers. He's talking about, what's he thinking about in verse 19? Whom shall I send to Philippi to encourage the brothers there in the church? He's thinking of his co-workers. He had a number of co-workers. And he looks around them and says, whom shall I send to encourage that church in Philippi? And he says, not that one, not that one. That one, no, not that one. You know, these are all good brothers. Many of them 10 times better than most of us. But he looks at them and says, no, I can't send him. Can't send him. That guy will go there and he'll try to act like a boss and try to tell other people how they should run their lives. Sometimes when CFC brothers go to visit other churches, that happens. Because people from there say, oh, you're from CFC. Oh, you must be a great saint. And they act like great saints and try to tell people how to run their lives. I tell people, brother, go as a learner. Go as a learner. So Paul couldn't send many of those people. But he said, Timothy, he's different. You know, Paul was a great discerner of people. As you walk with God more and more, you're able to discern people. A lot of people who appear very spiritual are not so spiritual, really. Paul knew that, but he says, Timothy, I can see that that guy does not seek his own in anything. He is not only that, I mean, that's a negative thing, I don't seek my own, but he's so genuinely concerned, verse 20, for the welfare of other people. Think of that expression in verse 20. Genuinely concerned for the welfare of other people. How other people can be blessed. That's the spirit of Christ. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. He came to earth because he was genuinely concerned about the welfare of other people. Himself. He never came to earth to get a single thing for himself. Let me repeat that. When we come to Christ initially, it's like the prodigal son. We come seeking something for ourselves. There are many people who come to this church seeking a good place to go to on Sunday, seeking a good place where their children can grow up. Nothing wrong in it. Welcome. But if after many years here, that's all you can say, oh, this is a lovely place for my teenage boys and girls to grow up, good fellowship, then you've missed something, brothers and sisters. You haven't grown up. You're like a retarded child. He's been here 15 years and still like a baby. If you want to know whether you've grown up spiritually, ask yourself, can it be written about you that you're genuinely concerned about the welfare of others, to lead them to eternal lives, to the extent where you're willing to part with what God has given you? Your time, your money, for the glory of God. I mention those things because those are the things we value. We value time and money. And when you part with that, to bless others and get nothing for yourself out of it. I say, that's got to be. And if it's for the glory of Jesus Christ, then you say, that's the person who's growing up. Because he's getting the Spirit of Christ. Jesus was willing to part with. And we think we give a little bit of money for God's work and we've made a great sacrifice. That's how crazy we are. Jesus gave up being equal with God. Even if you give all your money away for God's work, could you equal that? Can you equal that? Giving up being equal with God. Even if you gave up a lot of your convenience and comfort in order to serve others in Christ's name and lead them to God. Can you equal that with giving up being God himself in order to become a man? That's why I say this world and all of it that celebrates Christmas has got no clue about what it means that Jesus was born on this earth. They don't have a clue. It's an empty celebration. They have trees and stars and Christmas carols and continue year after year seeking their own. Whereas he did not seek his own in anything. And that's the spirit with which Jesus laid the foundation for the church. And if we want to build the true church of Jesus Christ, it must be built on this foundation. Where people have that same spirit. And that's why I'll tell you, there are very, very few people on earth who are really building that true church of Jesus Christ against which the gates of hell will not prevail. Because even among Christians, everybody's concern is I, me, and my family. That's three people, right? I, me, and my family. And before we judge others, ask yourself, my brothers and sisters, is that your primary concern? I, me, and my family? They must be taken care of. And God's work, if I have a little time left over. Jesus would never have come to earth if he had that attitude. It says here in relation to this in Philippians 2, verse 3, don't do anything from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Not more spiritual than yourself. The Bible never tells us to. Some people have that false humility. False humility. That says, oh, I'm not so spiritual, brother. You're more spiritual. That's rubbish. If you're saying that artificially. Paul did not consider the Corinthian Christians as more spiritual than himself. He said, you're carnal. We are spiritual. Jesus did not consider his disciples as more spiritual than himself. What does it mean to have the same attitude as Christ? It says, more important than yourself. More important. In the Jewish homes, they didn't sit at tables and chairs. They would recline and eat their food. And they would come walking with sandals like we do in India, with dirty feet. Entering a house, that be a slave in rich homes with a bucket of water to wash the feet as we took off our sandals. So in that Last Supper, since Jesus did not want any outsiders, the man who gave them the room kept the bucket of water and the towel, but no slave. I mean, he'd have gladly kept a slave as well, but Jesus said, we don't want any outsiders. Because it is a private meeting with his disciples. Breaking of bread is always a private meeting with the disciples, even today. Most churches don't understand that, but that's the way Jesus did it. But now all these disciples have come with dirty feet. They're all sitting around thinking, who's going to wash feet? Nobody here to wash the feet. Look around. Who's going to serve me? Everybody's a big man. And Jesus says, I suppose I'm the only one who's a slave here, so I'll wash their feet. He considered others as more important than himself. That's where we see it. On his last day on earth, he considered others as more important than himself. Not only that, we read here in Luke chapter 22, see, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. This is how he was born in a cowshed. Because he wanted to be lower than everybody else on earth. And he washed his disciples' feet on his last day of his life on earth to show, listen, fellas, I'm lower than all of you. In a world where everybody's trying to show that I'm bigger and better than you, I'm smarter than you, I'm prettier than you, I'm handsomer than you. And in a Christendom where preachers try to show that I'm better than you, my church is better than yours, my church is bigger than yours, and all this rubbish, you find Jesus coming with another spirit and saying, you guys are more important than me.